Blog Talk Radio.
Damn it.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
What a way to start the new year off.
Yeah, I was getting ready to go full blast, all enthusiastic into the night's broadcast. Appreciate Dr. John's ex-wife for the laugh there at the end. So,
oh my.
With all that behind us, welcome to Pop Culture Stars' first broadcast of the new year. Today's star date 1/4/23. We hope everybody out there doing fantastic and had a wonderful and exhausting holiday. We are back from taking last week off trying to catch our breath, which none of us were able to do. Nevertheless, I am your host, Dave Atwell, here trying to fight through another evening. Got about 1,000 things going on and got my arms around one of them. Nevertheless, going to kick it around the room real quick to my most esteemed panel. Oh, God, while I fight the janky back door here at Atwell Manor. I think I'm going to fetch me one more malt beverage out of the fridge to carry outside with me. Oh, Lordy. For those of you who don't know, I keep my beer down in the crisper. Got to keep my beers crisp and fresh.
And cold, and cold.
Damn, Skippy. So, while I struggle with yon door and light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, introduce our first member of the panel this evening from the fine Arkansas, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm doing well, sir, and Happy New Year to everybody. I hope everybody had a great holiday and, you know, with their family and friends. I know you all had an awesome time. It looked like you all had an awesome time at the beach. You know, I saw pictures, and it's like you all had a great time, and so just glad to be here. So,
yes, definitely good to have you aboard. And, yes, I was run ragged during that thing, but it'll be all right. It's all good. Back to abnormal, as I say around here. Definitely great to have you aboard this evening, Granny Hulk. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, thank you.
So, going to reel it back into the East Coast and talk to my good brother in arms and of many a cryptid attack and other aliens from Uranus or the other planet that I had mentioned to you this week, which I won't put on the air. Dr. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, Dr. John's doing great here. We're just messing around doing Pop Culture Stars, and it's great. It was a really good day for everybody who lives here at the house, and my cousin just got a new job. I sold two insurance policies, sold some tables at the Jacksonville Comic-Con. Oh, yeah, Jacksonville Comic-Con coming up February the 18th at the Sturgeon Center in Jacksonville, so everybody needs to get out to that. So it was a good day all in all, and got a lot more coming up. So, and looking forward to two nights broadcast.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was definitely a good thing we took last week off because there was just so much going on. And, you know, between the running back and forth to the beach and trying to keep up with the household and this, that, and the other, Of course, Granny Hulkster had some bad news. And Granny Hulkster, if you want to share, you can. If not, totally understood. But
I will.
We played hooky last week, and now we are back and ready to go. And I tell you what, geez Louise, you want to talk about getting the year off on a just abnormal, crazy, out of hand. I mean, we had Monday Night Football, which, good grief, man. I mean, seeing that young man just keel over right there on this field was just surreal. And, you know, with him being the same age as Rob, it just kind of gets you right in the feels and everything. So we got that. And then we got the mayhem going on in the House of Representatives where our paid lawmakers are up there doing what they do best, absolutely nothing, and they cannot seem to figure out who they want in the House. You know, we rid ourselves of a damn sentient evil like Nancy Pelosi, which stuff's already starting to bubble up on her, where she reduced security on January 6th and all kinds of stuff just to kind of set the trap, and enough assholes stepped their foot in it. So much stuff going on. I mean, we're only 4 days into the year, so hopefully the turbulence will level off a little bit and we'll be able to just have a couple peaceful, uneventful days coming up ahead of us. So regardless, though, tonight's broadcast, we will be speaking of the new year for as long as we are able to speak of it, between New Year's hopes and goals and whatnot. So, Granny, if you'd like to start it off, ma'am, knock yourself out.
Well, you know, I mean, I was talking about this in the green room. You know, anybody that's ever had a dog or a cat or, you know, just a pet in general, you know, sometimes it comes to that point where you may have to make a decision that you always don't want to have to make. And unfortunately, that was the case with my wonderful husband and I Christmas Eve day. You know, of course, the weather had been very cold here in Arkansas. We had those negative degree wind chill temperatures, you know, so we brought our dogs inside. And Friday, I had actually went with my friend to Henderson, Texas for the day. She drove down to go get her son to bring him back to Arkansas for a week to spend Christmas with her and her husband and their son. And Maggie was, you know, sleeping in the bathroom on the floor, you know, laying on some towels, you know, keeping her as comfortable as we could be. And she wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking. So we were going to take her just for her yearly shots on Monday. And so I called Saturday morning and asked if we could get her in. And she drank a little bit of water Saturday morning, you know, but she was down to 26 pounds, her back legs, bless her heart, she wasn't really dragging them, but the muscles in her legs, she just couldn't hardly walk. I mean, she'd go to walk, and her legs would just, like, you know, kind of collapse on her. So the vet said she was pretty much on her way out before we even brought her in. She probably wouldn't even made it through the weekend. So we made that sadful decision to go ahead and have her put to sleep. And she went peacefully, but we had her, she was 4 years old when we got her from our friend. And we were actually just helping him out. He was going through a rough time, you know, in his life at that time. And, so we were taking care of the dog for him, and he just decided to go ahead and let us keep Maggie. So we had Maggie over 12 years. She was 16 years old when she passed. And it was very heartbreaking. She was a good dog. And Saturday morning I had her laying on the bed and on a blanket, and our shepherd mix, he's like two, and I mean, for the most part, they got along, you know, really well. I mean, he would agitate her sometimes, you know, but for the most part, they got along. And, you know, it's kind of funny because dogs always can sense when there's something wrong.
Yeah.
My dogs have always done that. And he laid his head down. Maggie was laying on the blanket. He was laying next to Maggie. He laid his head down on her. And then he started licking the side of her face like he was giving her kisses, like he knew. And so they put her like in a, they called it a cardboard casket is what they called it. And, of course, it was cold enough. We had to keep her in our box truck outside for a day or so before we could actually bury her in the backyard because the ground was still kind of frozen from the cold temperatures and everything like that. But so when David was in the backyard digging the hole, Rex was back there and he was checking out the box. And that Monday night, he was like, you could hear him outside, and it's all of a sudden he just kind of went, like he knew,
oh,
like
God.
He knew that Maggie wasn't coming back. And, you know, so it was a tough time, but we went to some friend's house Christmas Eve day for lunch, and then we went to some other, my friend that I rode down to Texas with on Friday. They invited us, Anthony and David and I, over to their house Saturday night, Christmas Eve night, for dinner. So, you know, it kind of helped ease the pain, you know. You know, you just, you know, that's the sad thing about being a pet owner. You just hate when you have to make that decision, you know. And, but she probably wouldn't have made it through the weekends. But she went peacefully, and now she's crossed that rainbow bridge, and she's running with our other dog, Roscoe, up there in heaven. They're playing together again, and, you know, and life goes on. So, but other than that, it was just a quiet holiday. I mean, not a whole lot going on. I'm just ready. I'm ready for the new year. I'm ready for things to be a little bit better. You know, about 3 weeks ago, you know, my husband, he, at his job, of course, he's been with his employment for over 50 years. So I imagine now that the new judge is going to be coming in, he got sworn in yesterday, I have a feeling they're going to be telling my husband, you need to retire or we're going to retire you. So in the near future. So, but it'll be okay. We'll make it. You know, we'll just have to cut back, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I've been dealing with some other personal stuff and trying to get things situated and trying to keep everything normal, you know, as much as normal as I can. But sometimes that doesn't always work, but, you know, life goes on.
Absolutely. Yeah, the turbulence is definitely something that you just don't want to make a habit of. And I think 22 was kind of like a turd year for a lot of people. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe perhaps there's a yin for every yang, as they say, and hopefully – we got all the poo out of the way in 22, and maybe we'll have a mild dose of poo in 23. But I tell you, it ain't starting off that way. It's already starting off with some rough seas. So, I mean, it can't suck all the time, though. I've said that a million times. The law of averages, I'm a big numbers guy, always has been. And the law of averages says that it can't suck all the time. If you throw dice up against the wall, a lot of times it'll be seven, but sooner or later you're going to roll snake eyes. It might take you twice, it might be 200 times. So you know, it's the same way with life. You know, it can't always be bad news. Sooner or later, things have got to level off and get some sunshine going. So hopefully that'll be the case. And, you know, when it comes down to the dogs and everything, man, I'm going to tell you, and we've covered this on shows prior where we had done a show on we were speaking on afterlife, you know, what was on the other side and that, and it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I recall telling a story when I lost my lab. You know, where after she passed, and this was, you know, a couple months after she had passed, and I was crashed on the couch one evening and had a dream that she was right there with me. And when I woke up, I had my left hand was laying on my chest and my right hand was hanging off the side of the couch. You know how it is when you sleep on the couch, you just kind of go all gumby mm-hmm. and everything. And mm-hmm. My right hand was wet. And I remember in the dream, her nose, she kept sniffing my hand in the dream. And I wake up, and my hand's wet. I'm talking not like, you know, just got out of the pool wet. I mean, it just, you know, was, I don't know if it was sweat or what, but, you know, there was definitely moisture on my hand. And I'm like, I'll be damned. You know what I mean? And I'm a total belief. Years ago, a wife of a friend of mine, they had lost a pet that they had for 15, 16 years, and she had written a thing called Angels in Fur, and I wish I'd have kept or had gotten a hold of the copy of the thing. I just remember the Angels in Fur thing, and I am totally, totally convinced that when it comes time for us to cross the bridge ourselves, I think the first thing we're going to see are going to be those dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And with any luck,
well,
at all,
my friend down in Texas, I mean, her and her husband, they have several dogs, and they've lost several dogs over the past few years. And posted this poem on my page, you know, on my timeline about called Someday, and it's got the picture of the dog. And I'll have to pull it up, and if I got time tonight, I'll share it with everybody. But it was pretty. I needed to hear that. It was, you know, because she's been there in that boat. She's lost dogs just like I have, you know, and so it was very fitting that she sent that to me. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what. Well, hopefully, your hearts will come around. And like I said, she's still right there beside you.
I don't give a damn, nobody.
But yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I admire your guts being able to do it because, yeah, I'm over here getting choked up on your behalf. I don't know how you're.
I actually hugged the vet because our vets are really super people. And I got it right now pulled up here, Dave. Someday, sometimes when you're feeling sad, when all you want is me, I softly sit and gently put my head upon your knee. Some nights when your heart does ache, worn out by tears you weep, I quietly lie beside your bed and guard you as you sleep. Somewhere far beyond this place, a land where I'll run free, I'm calmly watching over you and waiting patiently. Someday when the time is right, your voice will call to me, and I'll come running like the wind. Someday, wait and see.
Yeah, that's
well,
awesome.
That's really nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's that right there makes all the world's difference. And you know, I know when I lost Cleo, you know, that was my black lab that I had. Jeff Franklin, his dad was Dr. Franklin, and down here at Academy Pet Hospital. And I went to school as buddies with his son, Jeff, throughout high school. So, of course, I always took my pets over there to see Dr. Franklin. And, you know, it gave me a couple minutes to hang out with Jeff and that kind of jazz, you know, in our post-high school careers and everything. And I don't know if you remember Jeff Spicoli on Ridgemont High, but that's – if you were to give him a haircut, that's exactly how Jeff was. Jeff was like, oh, dude, what's going on, man? And I pulled up that morning, and Jeff, of course, it's 7:30 in the morning. Jeff's already leaning up against the wall smoking a cigarette outside. And I said I didn't say anything. I got out. Jeff goes, dude, what's going on, man? Hey, you know we don't open up till 9, right, dude? And I didn't say anything. And he looked at me and he goes, dude, where's your dog, man? And I just shook my head. And I'll never forget it. Jeff goes, oh, dude, man, give me your keys, man. He took one more drag off the cigarette. And as he walked by me, he stuck the other end of the cigarette in my mouth and took the keys. And I'm not a cigarette smoker, but damn if I didn't finish that cigarette on his behalf. And he got Cleo out of my car and, you know, took her inside and everything. And he says to me, he said, hey, man, you know, Dad's got some farmland out there. You know, we can bury her for you if you want. They got a bobcat. They'll scoop it out, you know, and they'll cover it up so nothing to get to her. And I was just screwed up. I couldn't even think. So, of course, you know me, I'm just kind of like nodding, and I thank them, and I go on to work. And so while I was at work, one of the ladies at work says, well, you know, why don't you get her cremated? And, of course, you know, I thought, you know, it's freaking nuts. Who in the hell does that, you know? So the more I started rolling.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. And at the time, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, for all that dog did to me or did for me, it would suck that I wouldn't have the ability to at least ways visit a grave or something to that effect, you know. Jay just seemed to me like she needed a better honor her a little better than that. So I called Jeff back up. I said, hey, man, so there's a lady here at work. He was telling me about his pet cremation. Don't think I'm a nut. Don't think. He goes, nah. He goes, dude, if you only knew how many people got their stuff done like this, I tell you what, I got to come by your store, man. I'm going to drop you off this guy's rate card. I was, all right, cool. So Jeff comes by. He drops off the rate card. And the way the program worked is that they came by on Wednesdays and picked the pets up. And then the following Wednesday, they would bring pets back and pick up another batch of pets. So, in other words, every Wednesday, they would be mm-hmm. there either dropping off or picking up deceased pets. So, anyhow, it was like $110. And so, of course, you know, I called Dale up, and Dale's like, well, I don't know. And it was pretty much, well, you don't have to know. This is going to happen. Talk to you in a little bit. Click. And so I called Jeff up, and I said, yeah, man. I says, if you don't mind, call the guy up. I want it done. So about 15 minutes goes by. I get another call from Jeff, and he's like, hey, dude, man, look, Dad just found out about your dog, dude. Dad called the guy up. He's driving up here right now to get your dog. And you'll have her back tomorrow afternoon, dude. Dad's paying for the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And it was like an absolute gut punch, you know. So, anyhow, got her back next day in a nice little box and a little memorial thing and a whole damn 9 yards. So, you know, couldn't thank Dr. Franklin enough, couldn't thank Jeff enough, you know. And about a week later, open up a mailbox. I'll be damned if they didn't send me a condolence card with everybody
yep.
there at the clinic.
Yep.
Signing it and shit.
They
and I
did.
Was like, oh, man.
Yep. Our former vet's office that we took Roscoe to did that, sent the really pretty Rainbow Bridge card with the poem, and everybody signed it, you know, and yeah.
And, you know, it's just the little stuff like that. I'm sure they've got those cards in bulk, and I'm sure it took the staff maybe about a minute or two to pass the card around and then put an envelope, put a stamp on it, wait for the postman to come get it. But it's the fact that they took that 2 minutes out of their day to do it.
To do that.
Yeah. And, yeah. So I totally get it, man. Heart goes out to you and the family and everything. But like I said, you know, take heart. I don't think they ever go away. So,
no, they don't. They don't. They're always with you. And so,
yeah. So, Dr. John, talk a bit about some New Year stuff, if you would,
some what?
Sir. Hit
what do you want me to
New
talk
Year.
About? What did you say? New Year?
About, yeah.
Well, got some interesting things that are happening here. The Scarycast Network's got 5 podcasts now. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Nobody ever thought we could do it. In fact, I had a guy that owns a radio station said, that's too much for you. And I said, maybe for you, but not for me. And we're back up to 10 Comic-Cons, the way we were before COVID hit. And we're going to start representing authors. We're going to have a nice website where we're going to put their books up on Amazon and encourage people to buy them. So we're going to kind of have a paranormal publishing company. So we're becoming a paranormal conglomerate. And I know that's not what everybody told me I couldn't do it. And that's why I did it. So I don't have a New Year's resolution. I kind of, my resolution got done the last week of the year. I just got to manage it. And so yeah, to all those people who said, you can't do that. Well, I'll tell you,
told you so.
Y'all are wrong,
told
you
and, so.
I am right. And we got a whole year to, you know, not make it work. I mean, it's going to work because it's actually kind of fun, you know, and a buddy of mine, because, you know, I sell life insurance, which in a way kind of has one foot already in the grave anyway. And so we're going to start selling it under the name of Afterlife Burial Insurance. You like that, Dave?
There you go. I'd rather it be called Afterlife than Before Life.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we're just moving right along and started out the week selling some policies when everybody said you couldn't sell any policies. The economy was too bad. They were just these clients of mine were just jumping at the chance to get more life insurance. Isn't that great? So, I mean, it's just really funny how everybody wants to say no, no, no. And I just don't listen. I guess, what can we say? I guess I'm just too hard headed. I don't care what people say. If someone says something nice, I want to hear it. But if they tell me I can't do it, well, heck with them, you know.
Guess what? You're going to do it.
Well, guess what? Yeah, I'm just going to do it. I mean, you know, they tell me I can't. So I think that's a good enough reason. And I did. I had a radio station that said, John, that's just too much for you. I said, I got my nights free, man. Come on. And so, you know, there we go. And it's just a lot of fun moving around, getting things done, and seeing where all we can progress before I need afterlife burial insurance. That's what I got going on, and I mean, I'm glad you asked me that question, Dave. What's going on? But I really don't have – the only New Year's resolution I have is to keep everything moving and keep it profitable. How's that?
Yeah, the forward motion. Yeah, I totally hear you on that. That's the way things are going. That's almost a need more than a want at this point, you know. But, yeah, I definitely appreciate that. Now – for me, I don't know if I've touched on it on the show or not, but I'm going, my normally I don't make any New Year resolutions because, I mean, we don't have that kind of control on life. As a matter of fact, if somebody ever asks me to promise something, I always tell them the same thing. I don't promise anything because I just don't have that kind of control on fate. You know, I can promise to pick you up and take you to work, but then get attacked by a great white shark on the way there to get you. There are some things that are just out of my control, and that's why I try not to promise anything. And a lot of times these resolutions are a little out of your hands as a mere mortal. So I try not to make them. I just try, like we were just talking about, making forward progress every year. But for me this year, there's kind of a special little mission I've got. And threes. And it's going to sound crazy, but every 3 year has been a total disaster in my life. 73, I can't actually tell you because I was, just getting out of diapers and all that kind of good stuff. So 73, I was too damn busy, staggering around, playing with blocks, eating ho-hos, living a good life. But in 83 is when we moved from Paris Island to here. And I couldn't transition. I was so screwed up. I was getting in trouble in school, mouthing off my folks. And the move was just, it just didn't do me any good. So 83 was a disaster. That from 7th to 8th grade kind of thing, finishing 7th, going into 8th, did not transition well at all. So fast forward the tape to 93. And 93, I was going through a divorce and was a total basket case of a human being. I was in a very dark, dark place that I didn't belong, but I could not get myself out of at the time. And was pretty much being self-destructive. So obviously I didn't get the job done because my fat ass is still here. But let's zip it forward to 2003. 2003, I was going through some issues here at the house with family. That was pretty tough to get through. And buried my best friend. Best friend, 6'2", 280-pound guy I work with every day. We carpool back and forth to work. He goes to get some periodontal work done, gets bacteria in his gums through the periodontal work. The bacteria gets on a valve on his heart. They crack him open, put a valve in there, synthetic valve. 6 months later, the valve gets infected. They crack him open again. On a Wednesday, they put a donor valve in, came through the surgery fine. Thursday, he was doing good. Friday morning, organs started screwing up. And right around 11:30 Saturday afternoon, I get a call saying he's gone. And I was 32. And, 32, you got some mud on your tires, but 32 still ain't old enough to be burying your best friend. Little too much. So, but the good news that came out of that is with Charlie's death is when I really finally got my head out of my ass and I started trying to improve myself and waited for things to improve around me. I went out of my way to make them improve whether they wanted to or not. So, then we move on to 2013, which was probably one of the worst years of my career. Had probably easily, if not the worst boss I ever had, the second worst boss I ever had. Gentleman was a compulsive liar, manipulator, just a horrible boss to have. And then the week after Christmas is when I found out I was getting laid off. It was like, hot damn, you know. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. But that led to me writing the books, which led to me calling up Dr. John for a table at a con that he was throwing, which led me to being a guest here on Pop Culture Stars, which was Comic-Con Stars back in those days, which led me eventually to hosting and meeting Granny Hulkster and Malcolm and Tim and Velvet and everybody else that joins us. So, I mean, good came out of that, just the same. But nevertheless, here we go, bravely marching into 23. And for all the stuff that went the hell on me in 2022, I kind of like to think that maybe perhaps I got all the bad stuff out of the way. And 23 will be a very productive ass-kicking year for me. And I will break the curse. Damn it, the Red Sox and the Cubs did it. So can I. So just got to keep positive, got to keep a damn, keep your eyes and ears open, and just don't let one torpedo sink your ship. You got to keep right on getting it. So that is the
mission. That's right. Now, Dave, this is Dr. John. I have to say something. You talk about breaking the curse. You're sounding like a narrator on Dark Shadows. the paranormal soap opera. You know, the color, the curse of the Collins estate and Brutus Collins. Oh, my God, we'll break the curse. That's great. I'm sorry. I had to say that because I really love Dark Shadows. And so anyway, yeah, that's...
I'm wondering what you know. I was joking around with a friend of mine. I says, "Man, I says I could see if I opened up like King Tut's tomb and got some type of Pharaoh's curse, or maybe perhaps I, you know, backed over, you know, a black cat on the 13th while I, you know, my rearview mirror fell off and broke on the floor type thing." But I have no idea. Why in the hell the threes just seem to be the root of all evil for me. But like I said, it's tired of the threes shit. We're going to fix it, by God.
Well, that's so, kind of like, you know, after everything I've been going through, you know, I had to miss the last couple of Wrestling for a Cause shows because one, we were out of town, and the other one just, something came up and Anthony was having a rough weekend and so we just couldn't make it. I messaged the promoter and the president of WFC, who's a very, very good friend of mine, Mr. Tim Rockwell. Big shout out to you, my friend. I told him, I said, I have been missing my WFC family. And he says, well, we miss you too. And I said, and I am so ready for this, for WFC, to see my WFC family, to make me feel better and happy again, because I tell you, Dan Severn is going to be in attendance at this wrestling show that we're going to on Saturday. Now, I haven't got to see Dan since 2013 was when I first met Dan Severn at a traditional championship wrestling show that was in Nashville when they opened for the Tennessee State Fair. And I remember we were walking into the Waffle House after the show that night, and Tommy Dreamer was in there eating, you know, and we went to go get something to eat before going back to the motel. And I remember Dan Severn walking out the door, and he throws his arms up in the air, and he says, Granny, we got to stop meeting like this. People's going to start talking. So I can't wait to see Dan Severn again. I guess it's been 10 years, but, you know, I mean, it would have been 10, you know, because that show was in September of 2013, so this is a new year, but I can't wait to see him again. I'm looking so forward to seeing him again and getting to talk to him, and, you know, Granny's just, you know, I'm ready. I'm, you know, heels, y'all better beware, because Granny has not been to a wrestling show in a couple of months, you know, y'all better watch your back because you make Granny mad and Granny's going to get you. That's all I'm going to say, boys. just be on the alert, you know, you all have been warned. Heels beware, you know. Y'all have been warned Granny's going to be on the warpath. You make me mad. You just better watch out.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's the thing. Got to go in there with that mentality where you got to go in there, charge the shoulder first. So I think that's what the whole plan is this year, just go on in there. And I always joke every year about, I think I'm going to take less shit this year than I did the year before. I think this year is going to have to, I'm really going to have to be more about it than what I usually am because, like I said, we're going to get through it. A lot of good stuff laying ahead. And I got to tell you, you know, Dr. John, you know, his success, you know, seeing Dr. John and, you know, hell, we've known one another for, what, seven, coming up 8 years now? And I've seen Dr. John.
Dave, be quiet. Be quiet.
Yeah, God forbid you have to claim that, right? But,
eight years. Golly, you know what? You have just dated pop culture star, you just dated Comic-Con stars, which became pop culture stars, which became ScaryCast. You've dated this thing 8 years. You know, and I can't believe, I look on Blog Talk Radio and our little thing, it says we have done over 800 podcasts.
It's crazy,
and someone said, how do you do that, John? I mean, I said, well, you know, after you've done something long enough, you just kind of get on automatic pilot. You do. And, I mean, it's like, we had a bang-up show last night. We were talking, okay, can I tell you and Granny what we were talking about? You're going to just.
Yeah, go ahead.
You heard of UFOs and cattle mutilations, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked about human mutilations last night and the fact that space aliens can apparently take blood out of a human being and the veins and the arteries not collapse. And there's evidence of it three different times, starting in 1957. That was the grossest stuff I ever heard. But I was thinking, how far has this organization come? And I am proud to say, and this is the craziest thing in the world, we got the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, 7 years of Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And did you know that every guest speaker is a ScaryCaster? Our guest speakers our co-hosts are so strong. And I realized it today. I said, oh, my God, we got Robin McCray. We got Dr. Trey Dunaway. We got me. We got Matt Delph. We got Jessica Jones. We got Trey Hudson, who's coming on board. We got Kyler Smith coming up here from Houston. I mean, I just thought to myself, good Lord, it's a ScaryCast party. And that's what I wanted, I guess, is to have a, you know, some paranormal stuff that was strong enough that we'd just all get together and run a Comic-Con. So it's happened, and I think it's the strength of working with people for a long time. Of course, Dave Atwell. Now, Granny, you are welcome to come, too, and talk if you'd like. But Dave Atwell probably needs to put April 1st, because he's close enough on his calendar, and come down to Dillard, Georgia, and join the party. For goodness sake, Dave.
Well, I don't think I could qualify myself as a guest speaker, Dr. John, because
maybe not for Georgia Bigfoot, but I'm sure other places. Okay?
But I would like to listen, you know, because I would find that very interesting. But, you know, one of my friends posted a picture on Facebook the other night. She took a picture of like the moon, And, it was kind of, there were some clouds in front of it. It was kind of eerie looking. And then down at the bottom of the picture, there was this green light. And her husband was making jokes about being space aliens. And then somebody else commented and said, oh, well, didn't you see my post on my page? I think it was a comet or something like that. But it was like a little green. It was a little green light, and it, and Barbara's husband Blake was teasing her about being space aliens.
Well, now, Granny, you never thought I'd be saying this to you, but could you please send me a picture of that? That could be a very powerful paranormal issue right there. Could you text that to me, please?
I will see if I can. I will see if I can find that my friend's post and see if I can share it to you. Or send the picture of it to you. So.
Oh my goodness, you got the green orb. That's what the she squatchers say that Bigfoot is. It's the green orb. Oh, we gotta have that picture. I'm gonna send you some good vibes. I hope you can find it for me. That's incredible.
Well,
boy.
I hope I can.
Yeah, well, we do too. Yeah, Dave. You know the paranormal just follows us everywhere. Paranormal of 2023 is going to be the normal of 2123. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, so that's what I got to say there. Yeah, Granny, that would be great. I cannot wait to hopefully see that. That'd be great. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought the podcast had ended or something. That's great. Glad you're there. Dave, are you still there as we're turning it back over to you now? Good. Okay. Back.
Sitting here taking some hard drags off of this cigar. I tell you what. It's very good. I decided to quit smoking cigars on December 30th and said I was going to quit until the new year. So, definitely.
I got a question for you, Dave. How much does a good cigar cost?
Well, thanks to our current leadership, the price range has bumped up a little bit. But during the Trump administration, I would tell you anywhere between $6 and $10. If you pay more than $10 for a cigar, you probably paid too much. I know there's a lot of people that will dispute that, and I've had some fine cigars that were in the, $20 range and that kind of stuff. And, yes, they were excellent, but they weren't far enough excellent enough for me to say, yeah, I'd have spent the extra $10. And I will also note that there are certain brands out there. Arturo Fuente. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat, Arturo Fuente are the Cadillac cigars of the cigar world. They, if you have a bad Arturo Fuente, it's not the cigar, it's the person that was handling it. I don't think it's possible to have a bad Arturo Fuente. As a matter of fact, I had the pleasure of meeting the heiress, if you will, of the Arturo Fuente brand and family cigar business and everything. Very, very nice lady.
So now, Dave, did you meet Arturo or did you meet Fuente or did you meet Edie Gourmet?
Actually I made out better because she was better than the other two. So, but yeah, Arturo
that was the
Fuente.
That was the world's oldest joke. You at least laughed at it. Thank you.
Dr. John, I just sent that picture to you on Messenger.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to go check or deck it out. Well, I sure will. That's great. I'm going to send that to my Gmail and y'all talk a minute. Let me get this thing going. Oh, this is great. Thank you, Granny.
Well, you're welcome.
See the real progress.
Now you sent it to me on
Facebook Messenger.
Facebook Messenger, okay, because I now have multiple Facebook messengers. Don't even
John
go there.
John Stamey.
Oh, okay, that's the John Stamey. That's my personal
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Because my business one is Joseph Stamey, which is the Comic-Con world and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so thank
well,
you.
Well, I you know, said I just...
I may put this on the front cover of Look Up in the Sky, 4th edition. Well, let's see. Now, come on. It's taking a minute to... Didn't come here. Ooh.
Well,
it should be in. Oh, Lori Burt. Oh, yeah. You just refreshed.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. That is the orb from a Bigfoot, Miss Lori Burt, Miss Granny Hulkster. Never seen anything quite like that.
Well, I'll have to comment on that my friend's post and tell her that I have a friend who deals with paranormal things and space aliens, and he really enjoyed that picture.
That is correct. And so anyway, thank you very much. I just got to figure out what to do with it. But yeah, no, that's just great. Now, why is
but
it when
that,
I hit the
show? Isn't that amazing, though? I mean,
I can't wait to show this to every. I'm gonna show this to everybody in the paranormal world. My only problem is that when I hit the share thing, it wants me to share within Facebook, and it won't give me. The email application.
Yeah, my friend posted. She says, "If you are still up, take a moment and go outside and look up. It is beautiful. I have no idea what the green light is. God always amazes me." Is what she posted, and then she posted that picture. She posted that picture that she took.
Well, tell her that is absolutely. Well, I'll have to get this figured out later. But that is great. Thank you very much. I'll make absolutely sure everybody gets to see this in the paranormal world. So anyway, thanks a lot. And back to you, dear Dave and Granny. I mean, I'm just sitting here ogling this incredible photograph.
Well,
oh, my
God.
That's
the amazing thing about this program is we can just talk about anything and everything, and it just somehow seems to all tie together no matter what we do.
It does, doesn't it? Now I'm. Oh, this is great! And then it's like suggesting people for me to send it to. Then the first one is Igor Burtsev, the great Bigfoot dude. I mean, I'm serious. This is just too funny. Spencer Fisher, the paranormalist from up there in Sylva, North Carolina, is like what's his name? It's like, oh, Maverick Hart, my buddy that comes to the Tennessee Bigfoot conference. He's got everybody. Oh my goodness, it's great. So anyway, that's great, and yeah, this is wonderful. All right, I'll shut it. I've got to be quiet because I'm just babbling on. And listen, I'm absolutely thrilled about this. Oh my goodness, this is great. All right, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I figured out how to do it. You know what you do? It's really cool. You make it larger, and then you get a different share button. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
S-H-R-S-H-A-R-E or C-H-E-R?
Yeah.
Oh, now be careful. I'll
S-H-A-R-E. Like you're sharing
okay.
The picture.
I was about ready to break down a little. Baby, don't go.
Now, be nice, or we'll sing Half Breed, and we'll sing Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves on you, Dave. Now you better really be careful.
I got you, babe.
Yeah, I got you, babe. Yep.
I got you, babe.
My ex-wife was a big fan. And every time I hear a Cher song, you'll see me get that kind of jerk because she used to love Cher. And I was like, every time I hear a Cher song now, all I think about it is like, oh, shit. Okay. It's like, oh, God. Make it stop.
Don't forget to flip the hair, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It worked. It worked. That's great. That's great, Granny Hulkster. Thank you. I know I'm really happy now. I'm going to share this with everybody. And I can't wait to send it to the She Squatchers. I'm going to say, you know, you talk about how Bigfoot has a green orb. Here's a picture of one. That's great. Well, that's okay. I'm sorry. I got to get over this. We got to get back to this podcast, okay?
Well, this is the new year, people. I mean, you know. You never
That's
know
right.
what we're going to talk about on Pop Culture Stars.
And we've talked about gypsies, tramps, and thieves, and half-breed. I mean, we've done it. We've done it all now.
Yeah, we've come full circle. All we need is Todd on here to talk about a hamburger helper, and we'll be totally in business.
Complete.
Well, what's wrong with hamburger helper? I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, we actually did a show years ago where we got on, it was just me and Todd, and we had absolutely nothing to talk about. And somehow or another, we got on the topic of the Chow Marine Corps families used to eat back in the 70s and 80s when they were getting paid, you know, pennies on the dollar for serving their country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you've got guys making six figures in the Marine Corps and everything, and it's like you take a whole platoon of guys back when my dad was in the Corps, and they didn't make six figures between the whole platoon. So, yeah, we got on the topic of, you know, the chow we used to eat on the nickels and dimes and everything. My dad would bring home in the 70s back being in the Marine Corps. And I'd be damned if we didn't do a whole show on Manwich hamburger helper flavors, fish sticks, macaroni and cheese, that kind of stuff. So it's definitely doable.
Dave, that's what we ate at the Stamey household. It was good. Don't mess around with hamburger helper now. That's great.
Yeah, it'll set you back 25 skins, make hamburger helper now. the only hamburger helper out there right now is a $10 bill. Because it's going to cost you at least 10 or 12 to make, and you'll at least ways get the ground beef for it, you know.
Well, let me tell you what you can do, and I know they have this product, but what you do is you get your box of hamburger helper, and you get four packs of that Starkist tuna in a foil pouch, and that's $6. And so instead of paying $12 for hamburger, you pay $6 for tuna. But they do have a product called Tuna Helper, but I don't know if they still make that or not.
Yeah, that's false advertisement because there ain't nothing out there that can help tuna. Tuna is one of those things. If you're in the mood for a tuna sandwich, then you eat a tuna sandwich. Outside of that, tuna, no, absolutely not. Nah, unless I am in the mood for a tuna sandwich, no. It ain't one of those things where it's like, hey, I made tuna casserole. Okay, well, I'm going down the street and getting something off the dollar menu. Fat ass ain't eating tuna casserole. No. I'm 52 years old. I can make my own mind up, and I ain't eating tuna unless I feel like eating a tuna sandwich. I might put some on a cracker on a good day, but that's it. Though I will say, though, that if you get your hands on that chili mac hamburger helper and suck down 6-7 paps along with it, you will have personal space for the next day or two.
Did you really say that, Dave?
If you ever want to be alone, just follow my recipes. Trust me, it's like.
So
the Chili Mac hamburger helper and a six pack of PBR.
Damn right. whenever Dale wants me to go to some function of hers for her work and everything, you know, because it's I don't know how I turn out being the guy, but it's I don't go to these events and everybody's giving Dale a bunch of shit. You know, it's like, oh, where's Dave? Where's Dave? Where's Dave? Like I'm, you know, party or something. And so I tell her friends now, they're like, hey, you going to be out there? Yeah, sure am. Are you guys going to have dinner? Well, we're just going to do some, you know, little like finger sandwiches, that kind of stuff. I was like, okay, cool. I'll probably have like a good egg salad and a couple beers before I get out there. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, tell your husband he doesn't have to come out if he doesn't want to. Took me 15
well, now, Dave,
years.
You don't know the wizardry of egg salad, because what you do is you garlic butter your toast, and then you get it to perfection. Then put extra butter on it. Then comes the egg salad with extra mayonnaise on both sides, and put butter on both sides and toast it. And boy, oh my God, it'll be the greatest thing in the world.
You know what my chicken salad and egg salad, what the secret is on those things, what sets mine apart? Two ingredients is salad cubes. Don't use relish and don't cut up no damn dill pickles. Go out and get some sweet salad cubes. And
okay.
Old Bay seasoning. And I'm telling you,
well,
I'll tell you,
there's this place in Fayetteville, Arkansas, guys. It's called Chicken Salad Chick. Okay?
It's a chain, and Granny, it's the best stuff in the world.
I mean, they've got the best pimento cheese. And they've got all sorts of different kinds of flavors of chicken salad that you could ever imagine. And they are absolutely awesome. I love that place.
God, Jesus. Pimento cheese, another one. When you're a damn Marine Corps brat, jumping Christ. Oh, my God. Just hearing it. I don't want to barf on the air for crying out loud. But, man, I could eat pimento and I could eat cheese. But if you put them together, deals off. I ate so much of that garbage.
But you know what, Dave? You know what? But this is really good. I mean, this is really good. But they have the chicken salad. I like the one. They have a barbecue one, and then they've got a lemon pepper one, and then they've got the one with the cranberries and the walnuts and stuff that's really good. And then they just have the classic, what they call the classic carol, I think is what they call it. But there's just like tons and tons and tons of different flavors. And they have this broccoli salad. They have this broccoli salad that you can get as a side and a pasta salad with it, and it's absolutely amazing.
Now, something that's gross that I still to this day can eat the pure hell out of is that nasty old olive loaf. You know that lunch meat that's got the olives in it?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I can tear that shit up. Don't ask me why, but I can eat that stuff right out of the package. I don't even have to make a sandwich out of it. I just take it and eat it. Yeah, you almost have to blindfold yourself when you eat that stuff because it's so oogie looking. But damn if I can't tear it up.
Well, you know what else is really good, Dave, you better be careful. Because I'm going to give you all a recipe for the greatest stuff in the world. It's called Spam and Duke's Mayonnaise. And some pickle relish. Oh, my God, that rivals any kind of chicken salad, Granny. Oh, my God. Spam salad. You ever had it?
No, I haven't, but... Have you ever had Spam fried rice?
No.
Dude,
yes.
You have no idea.
No, Marion Grasby, the great chef from Australia, made that one time in front of everybody on her YouTube channel. She made Spam fried rice. And she said, oh, my God, this is amazing.
And everything. I mean, that woman could cook like you would not imagine. That was a great thing about my mom-in-law is I had Okinawan mom-in-law and Italian mom. All I needed was like a Mexican side chick, and I'd have been perfect. But, man, she made some Span Fry, and Dale can make some Span Fry rice right now that'll just knock your socks off. And I remember I was sick as a dog, just had a sour stomach for about a week or two. And I came by, Rob was still a little guy. He was like, you know, year and a half, 2 years old. And my mom-in-law, whenever I got to the house, never go to my mom-in-law's house on a full stomach because you won't survive. She will make you eat. And while you're in the bathroom coughing up your guts because you've ate too much, she's making you another plate. So I came over there to the house to pick Rob up because they were watching Rob. And she says, "Oh, you're not looking good. You look sick. I said, "Yeah, I got a sour stomach. Been bad shape the last couple of days. I don't know what's going on with me." "Oh, you need to eat. You looking bad in the face." I was like, "Nah, Mom, I'm good to go." She went out there and cooked a fried Spam sandwich for me. And when she handed me this thing, it looked like death. I mean, this sandwich looked unappetizing as hell. But it was my mom-in-law. And I love my mom-in-law so damn much. I was like, "Dave, Jiminy Cricket standing on my shoulder just looking at me going, you know what you got to do. You got to eat this damn thing. I don't care how bad off your stomach is. You got to eat this." Man, I pulled that sandwich up off that plate, and I was, you know, doing the whole Hail Marys in my head while I was, you know, biting down on it. I'm here to tell you, that had to have been one of the best goddamn sandwiches I ever ate in my life. I don't know what she did, but I'm here to tell you, that sandwich right there put me on another level. I'll never forget that stuff, and I miss her so much. But, yeah, when it comes down to Spam, that woman could take a can of Spam and turn it into some Ruth Chris. I don't know what she did, but my God, it was absolutely incredible.
Okay. All right, Dave.
Well, see, you know, that's how we go right there. We have a tangent on cheap food that's actually good if you play with it correctly, and we've been going 20 minutes on that shit. That's how you get off on a tangent on pop culture stars, boys and girls.
Well, all I got to say, if you're going to make Spam salad, you better be using Duke's mayonnaise.
And listeners, take notes, because there will be a quiz at the end of the night.
Yeah, and we did all this without Todd's service. Normally, Todd's the guy who switches the tracks on us all the time, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We did it on our own tonight. Now, I will that is the secret on my grilled cheese sandwiches. I can cook some grilled cheese sandwiches that'll curl your toes up, and everybody says, "How in the hell do you get your grilled cheese to taste like this?" And I'm like, and what I do is you put butter in a pan, right? And, of course, you got to have Old Bay seasoning. I put Old Bay on everything. I'm from D.C. It just comes with the territory. So if you don't like Old Bay, don't eat my goddamn cooking. You take your sandwich. Once that butter melts in the pan, you smear mayonnaise to the edges of the bread, and you throw that mayonnaise side down in the frying pan. And while then you put your cheese on it while it's sitting in the pan, put the cheese on it, and then quickly get another piece of bread and then hit mayonnaise on one side of it and then lay it mayonnaise side up on top of the cheese and then flip that sucker over and cook it mayonnaise side down again. And I'm here to tell you, and like I do, I always sprinkle a little bit of pepper, a little bit of black pepper, and some Old Bay seasoning on the cheese before I put that other slice of bread on it. And I'm telling you, you'd call me Gordon Ramsay when you're done with my grilled cheese, baby.
I think Gordon Ramsay is a pretty good cook.
I think. Everybody loves Gordon Ramsay. They do. I mean, he's like the name. He took over from Julia Child, I think. But anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He could cook a meal and make you feel an inch high all in the same thing, you know?
I like to watch Restaurant Impossible. with Chef Robert Irvine. I love to watch that show.
Robert Irvine is the bomb. He is the cool. He is the coolest man. He really is. You're right, Granny. Oh my gosh.
Well, when we went to WrestleCon last year in Texas with my friend for WrestleMania, his wife Gail Kim was actually there, and I got to meet her at WrestleCon. And I told her, I said, "Well, I said you need to tell your husband that I am a huge fan of his Restaurant Impossible shows, and I love to watch Chopped and Guy's Grocery Games, and I love to watch his shows on the Food Network channel."
Oh, they're great. They're great. Okay, well now Granny, I got to ask you something because I haven't been looking very much. Who are the current Iron Chefs, or does anybody know? Because I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I haven't really seen much Iron Chefs competitions lately. You know, I mean, and I like to watch Bobby Flay too. You know, Beat Bobby Flay. I like to watch his show too. Well, I know in the past. I mean, there's Alex Gornishelli. She was an Iron Chef. My goodness.
Michael Simon, is Amanda, still an Iron Chef?
Michael Simon's still around. He's on Beat Bobby Flay a lot. I like to, and Amanda Freitag, I believe she was an Iron Chef at one time. Now, they had a show on for a while, and I don't think they have it on right now, but it was called Out Chef with Eddie Jackson. And he would bring in a person and make the person think that they were there for an audition for, you know, a cooking thing, for, you know, a cooking show. But actually what they were doing was they were competing against a chef like Alex Gornishelli or Amanda Freitag or Tiffany Faison or Brooke Williamson or, you know, a famous chef. And if they got one vote, they would win, I think it was like $5,000 or something they would win. But if they didn't, and if they won, then they got their picture up on the wall in this building, you know. And I know Bobby Flay did this thing for several weeks called Triple Threat, which was pretty cool. He had Michael Vitaggio and Brooke Williamson, and I don't remember the other chef that they had, but they always had one person cooking against all three of those chefs, and if they won, they won like $25,000, you know, in the competition. It was pretty cool.
Well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I know Mario Batali is no longer there. I don't think he ever lost an Iron Chef competition, did he?
Think so.
I don't think he
then
did.
Then you
I
have,
think he was...
you know, like I said, but he, but I, and I love to watch, and then I love to watch the, I know when they, and then they were doing this barbecue brawl competition on TV with Bobby Flay and Eddie Jackson. The first season was Bobby Flay, Eddie Jackson, and Michael Simon, and then the second season was Bobby Flay, Ann Burrell, and Jet Tila. I like to watch Jet Tila cook. He's pretty awesome to watch cook, too, so.
Gotcha.
I don't watch none of them food shows because all it does is piss me off because I'll watch it and then I got to go eat like a thing of damn generic Ritz crackers for dinner. So I tell you, it was a bad joke, though. Dale had to get some dental surgery. I don't know if you recall me mentioning she had to get some dental surgery at the beginning of last month. And, I mean, I don't give a damn. Anybody worth his weight in humanity will see their spouse or children or parents or brothers and sisters or whatever when they go in for some type of procedure. I have the biggest habit of just standing there and going, why don't you do this to me? Because I have survivor guilt so bad. You know, because here I am, the guy that smokes cigars and drinks beer and whiskey and, you know, carries on and yak, yak, yak. And I'm never in the hospital. And then there's people out there toeing the line and eating this and, you know, taking all these supplements and not drinking and not smoking. And they're in the hospital 10 weeks out of the year, you know. So she had to go in for this dental surgery. And I was like, God, you know, this sucks so bad. Yeah, I wish it was me going in there, blah, blah, blah. So we go and all, and I'm trying to make her as comfortable as I can. So we go into the office there, check her in and everything, and we sit down, and what do they got in the waiting room on the TV? Goddamn Food Channel. And I was like, what kind of screwed up sadistic shit is this? These people can't eat. You know, you cut all their damn teeth out of their head and tell them they can't eat nothing but pudding for 2 weeks, and you got the goddamn Food Channel on?
Well, I tell you, when
Granny, you
know,
gotta
Dave,
laugh a little bit at that too. That's just hysterical.
Well, no, because you know, well, listen, when he was talking about, you know, okay, let's see, I've had my dentures now probably 'cause I've had my dentures a while. I mean, but when I first got all my teeth pulled, okay, because of my history of blood clots, I could not wear my temporary dentures. I had to wait 9 months before I could wear my temporary dentures, okay, because they wanted my mouth to completely heal. So I couldn't even wear my temporary dentures, like, for 9 months. And I remember us going to a WFC show, and I had no teeth. And, of course, John Cross and Stevie Caballero were making fun of me, you know, and everything. Well, the following March, like March of the next year, because that was in December, you know, and then March, I finally had my temporary dentures. John comes over to me. He says, "Granny, where'd you get those teeth? You didn't have those the last time I saw you." And I said, "Yes, I know." And I said, and I smiled really big, and I said, "I'm being beautiful." But yeah, I had to go 9 months, guys, without having any teeth in my mouth. That was hard. I mean, that was very, I ate, like, you know, pudding, yogurt, applesauce, you know. I could eat some soft fruits, you know, but, I mean, there was a lot of foods that I couldn't eat for a long time because I had no teeth, and that was kind of depressing, but, you know, I mean, now if I'm just sitting around the house, you know, not going anywhere, a lot of times I won't even put him in. I'll just leave him out, you know, and move along, you know. But I drank a lot of milkshakes and a lot of malts, and, you know. But I know what you're saying, Dave, you know, like, you know, you get a tooth pulled or something, and then you're sitting there and you're, you know, that a food commercial comes on or something. But I like to watch the Food Network channel. I like to watch the different programs. I wouldn't want
right
to be
now
a competitor. I wouldn't want to be a competitor on some of those shows, because, especially Top, because half the stuff that they cook, I don't know how to cook it. So, you know, I would be the one getting chopped in the first round. You know, I wouldn't make it to the dessert round. So.
I got to say something here. I knew a lady that actually got on the worst chefs in America.
Oh, the worst cooks in America?
Yeah,
the worst cooks in America.
And she got cut first. And I found this out 2 years later, and I said, "Why didn't you write a cookbook?" She said, "Well, why would I write a cookbook?" I said, "Because it would have been a New York Times bestseller."
Yeah.
The first chef to get cut, and then I asked her, I begged her to write a dog cookbook, a cookbook for dogs. And so here came the date that she was going to have it. She said, "I just didn't know what to do." And I thought to myself, and I know she doesn't listen to this show, I thought that's the dumbest woman in America. In fact, we should have a show called The Dumbest Woman in America. I mean, all you had to do was write any kind of a cookbook. You could have written a hot dog cookbook. You could have written a spam cookbook. You could have written, God forbid, you could have written a Jell-O cookbook. And it would have been a New York Times bestseller. And I mean, it's like, if I was ever on a show like that, I would do my best to get cut first.
But like they've got this one thing going on right now for the next I think, probably 4 weeks, because last night was the first episode of it. But they had this last season, but they've got it set up. Last year they had the dice where if you didn't want, you could take out one of the basket ingredients and you could throw the dice to, and if it was an even number, you got a good selection, and if it was an odd number, it might not be so good. Well, this, they're doing the same thing this year, except they're using a roulette wheel or a slot machine. Like, if you want to take out one of the basket ingredients, like if you don't like it, like last night, one of the things that they were cooking with was a cow uterus and a calf uterus, and some people didn't want to use that, so they rolled they spun the roulette wheel, and some of them got some good choices, and a couple of them got some bad choices. But, you know.
Yeah, a buddy of mine brought some cookies into work for Christmas because we were having a potluck thing at work, and everybody was supposed to bring something in. But the whole gist of it was you couldn't run back there to the bakery, get the stuff, put it up there in the break room. You actually had to make it, and that was the whole gist behind the thing we were having. You know, because Miss Renetta, she brought her collards, which were just always incredible. Everybody was bringing in all their different stuff. Well, he brought in some chocolate chip cookies, and these things, I mean, they were the size of your hand, and they were loaded with chocolate chips. And I'm like, hot damn, son, those things look good as shit. I think I might just have chocolate chip cookies for lunch, you know? So, he runs up there with a big plate of those things, and, you know, we're all in the office discussing how good his cookies look. And he comes down there, and he walks in, like, yeah, we were just discussing your cookies. And he goes, well, he says, kept the batch on to the side for us. We keep stashed down here because I didn't want everybody sniping the things up there in the break room. I said, all right, sweet. So he opens up this Tupperware container, and he's got probably a dozen of those cookies in there. Well, me and two other guys, we reach in there and grab it, and I mean, we're not pulling any punches. We snatch them out of there and just immediately shove them in our mouth. Well, next thing you know, you see all of our faces just kind of like turn white. To make a long story short, come and find out that when he was making the cookies, instead of putting baking powder in there, he put baking soda.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. You have never... You see him, he shoves his cookie in his mouth, right? And he looks at our expression. He just grabs a wastebasket and just like, blah, just the whole cookie in the garbage can, and then hauls ass upstairs to the break room to grab those cookies before anybody got their hands on.
Oh, no.
It was like going to the beach and picking up a fistful of sand and just eating it. And I mean, funny. Oh my God. I mean, after we all chugged, you know, a 2 liter of Mountain Dew apiece to get the taste out of our mouths. Yeah, I remember I had made the joke where I needed to eat a piece of cat shit to get the taste out of my mouth. It was definitely a diet, but funny. Oh my God. We still laugh about that to this day. Because it was like all of us realized it at the same time, except he knew where he had screwed up. The rest of us didn't. And we're all like, what are you trying to do, kill us? Yeah. So note to everybody out there, when you're cooking, it's baking powder, not baking soda. Baking soda is what you use with vinegar to unclog your drains and to take rust off of stuff. You don't put in chocolate chip cookies at all.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Not at all. But with all that being said, here we are at 25 after. It's about time to kick it around the room, do our closing shots and plugs and all those other nifty things we do while we are parting ways on Wednesday nights. So, Granny, we'll start off with you, young lady. What kind of parting shots do you have this evening?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week and, you know, and just be good to each other, be kind to each other, love each other, you know, and I'm going to plug, you know, my wrestling show for Saturday night. Anybody in the Wagner, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma area, even Arkansas, you know, even if you live in Arkansas and you listen to this show, you know, come check out WFC. I do know that front row seats are sold out and VIP tables are all sold out, but there is general admission tickets still available. So come check out WFC in Wagner, Oklahoma. And Dan Severn's going to be there, part of the wrestling show that night. It's going to be a great night of wrestling. Granny cannot wait to be there back with my WFC family. And I'm just glad I was able to be on with you and Dr. John tonight. And sorry we missed Mr. Tim, you know, and everything. And velvet prayers to you, my friend, and Papa Stroh. I know I talked to you last night on In the Room. You know, Brady was not on the show last night, but I called on In the Room last night and talked to Papa Stroh last night. So, you know, just hope everybody's doing well with the new year coming in, and just everybody have a great rest of the week.
Outstanding. Yes, most definitely. We definitely appreciate you joining us this evening, Granny Hulkser. And, you know, just to throw one out there is that those general admissions tickets that you speak of are usually the best seats.
Well, yeah, but now see, now, but Dave, Granny does not like sitting in general admission. Granny's got to be on the front row because I can't interact if I'm back in general admission, you know. Granny's got to be on the front row. You know?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to be involved or possibly have a wrestler land in your lap or have somebody try to take your shoe off your foot, like I've had many times in at wrestling shows, you know, they've tried to take my shoes off my feet to use my shoes as a weapon. You know, if you don't like that, then yeah, general admission is fine. But if you're anything like Granny, who likes to be involved and interact and make it fun for all the wrestling fans out there, you know, because I tell somebody that's, you know, maybe never been to a show before because they don't know who to boo and who to cheer, I say, just watch Granny. I will show you. And it works every time. I mean, and they love it. The crowd loves it. The promoter, I mean, the wrestlers love it because the wrestlers know me well enough. They know that if Granny is just sitting there not hollering at somebody, that there is something very, very wrong with Granny Hulkster. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I tried to hide general admission seats when I went to go see Fuego and all those guys in Merle's Inlet down there back in May. And Velvet comes, grabs me. He goes, no, man, you don't sit way up there. You're sitting ringside. So I'm like, damn, all right. So I'm sitting ringside. Couldn't ask for better seats. So there I am sitting there with my arm around my lovely wife in my if you don't smoke cigars, how can I trust you T-shirt, being all macho and cool with my boots on and everything, got my game face on, Mr. Hardass, and here comes Velvet with a hot pink boa lei that he put around my neck in front of Frank and everybody. And that, boys and girls, is why I sit in general admission, so they can't get me. But, Granny, if you want to see something graphic, gross, and cool as hell, Dan Severn, back in the old UFC days when they used to have the round-robin tournament instead of the separate matches like they do now, Dan Severn fought against a guy named Oleg Tuktarov, and I want to say it was UFC 4. I'm telling you what, you have never seen a guy beat the living piss out of another human being the way Dan Severn beat that guy. And Tuktarov was kicking everybody's ass that evening, and he got in there with Severn, and I was like, man, Severn's a big boy. Tuktarov is on fire, man. And, I mean, that guy was coming out of nowhere, and he was mopping the floor at everybody. Well, Severn got him on the ground, and that was it. He turned that gentleman's head into hamburger. He was straight up ground chuck at the end of that match. So, yeah, Ole
I believe
and
it.
Carl
I
and
believe
Dan
it.
Severn, awesome USC fight. And that was back when they used to let them fight instead of it is now where if somebody gets punched in the face, they call the fight. So, yeah, check it out if you get a chance. I think it's on YouTube. But nevertheless, Granny, do appreciate you joining us this evening. Happy New Year to you, dear.
Yep, thank you.
Now, Dr. John, what kind of parting shots do you have, sir?
Parting shots. As far as I know, next week is ScaryCast, then ScaryCast Tuesday, and then Pop Culture Stars, and then Old Time Horror. So just Old Time Horror films. So just go to go to Facebook.com/ScaryCast. That's what you do. Facebook.com/ScaryCast, and you can see everything. And so it's just a lot of fun, and we enjoy ourselves. We have a good time. Don't we, Granny?
Yes, we do.
And don't we, Dave?
Outstanding. Now, it's next Monday. I got to join you, right?
Oh. We got preempted. So we're going to do it next month. Because we got preempted by a feller that does cryptid research for the Army.
Ah, very good.
And he can actually be on the show. There you go. So, yeah, we'll do it next month. If that's okay.
That's
all right, yep.
No,
everybody come to Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con, February the 18th. Dave Atwell will be there. Everybody will be there, including me. Including whoever else is going to be there. Reverend Lynn Myers is going to be there. Upset everybody. That's why. What more can we say? In fact, I'm going to have him on ScaryCast. I'm going to have him get everybody mad. He's got a new book called UFOs, Cryptids, and the Bible. And it's, oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. He can clear out a room. Everybody will leave. That's why I like him. He's
fit
great
in
guy.
Just right with all the Southern Baptists down here in County, Lord have mercy. They'd be out there with super soakers full of holy water just spraying the building down.
Okay.
Out. Well, Dr. Now Don, I appreciate you joining us this evening. Always good to have you aboard. And I was looking up, and it's something that I just wanted to mention before we get off. Have you ever read up on the Egyptian artifacts that they have found in the Grand Canyon, and the Smithsonian look that stuff up. I kind of stumbled over it last week, and apparently there were actually Egyptian artifacts and art and hieroglyphs, all that kind of stuff, and it's almost like something out of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the gentleman who found it was shut down. The Smithsonian doesn't acknowledge any of it. And the gentleman who found everything just disappeared. So, we might have to do a show on that. But look it up. I'll try to get get a couple links for you if I remember tonight.
Shoot me a link now. Now I got a question for you. Is all that stuff, was it found to be naturally placed?
Yes and no. I mean, some of it was actually on the caves and rocks, and then some of the stuff was actually found in the caves and rocks. So a little bit of both. Very interesting stuff, though. Certainly one of those things that makes you, even the most skeptical guys like myself, makes you stop and go, okie dokie. It makes you wonder if there was a lot more going on. And, of course, you know, we've had the whole, there's plenty of discussion about the pyramids weren't built by humans, or at least ways they were not engineered by humans. They were engineered by a different race who are no longer with us, you know, the Anunnaki and all the whole nine yards. And got to make you wonder. I mean, just a lot of times the stuff you listen to, credibility. I'll put it to you this way. If Joe Exotic told me that he was attacked by the abdominal snowman or the abominable snowman, I'm the abdominal snowman, I probably wouldn't give it any credence. But on the flip side, if Clint Eastwood was to tell me a story about it, I would believe it just because Clint Eastwood's an honest shot. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's definitely worth reading up on. And it's kind of like that gentleman, I can't remember his name to save me, Lazar, Bob Lazar,
yep.
Who did work on Area 51. Every time I listen to that man speak, I if you want to change, as I always say, you know, change my mind about it, convince me otherwise, I listen to his stuff, and I just totally, like, now I'm listening. So, yeah, I'll have to find a link, send it your way, see if I can dig it up with whatever videos I was watching. But nevertheless, do appreciate you joining us here this evening, sir. Always good to have you aboard. Damn good to have you back here in Pop Culture Stars. So just to kind of repeat what Dr. John said, February 18th here at Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Comic Con, it is home field advantage for me. I expect the line, Jacksonville, Onslow County people. I expect the line because you always bitch about how there's nothing to do. Well, you know what? We're going to hook you up. So, by God, be there. And outside of that, just a real quick like, want to tell everybody out there to have a great new year. And times are tough. Times are going to get tougher. My prediction, if you want to write this down, is by Easter, we're looking at $5 to $6 a gallon for gas. That's just my prediction. Tough times are ahead. They will be tougher if you make them tougher. And going back to what I was saying earlier about what's going on right now in our House of Representatives, by God, they're not making a bad situation any better with a bunch of bickering back and forth. Nevertheless, try to take care of one another. Let's try to get this new year off on a good, positive, ass-kicking mentality and break the curse. Let's do it. We got this. So with all that,
let's act like it's Collinwood in Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Let's break the curse.
Break the curse. The curse. So let's shuffle in and let's see if Spectrum has broken the curse and actually has internet service as I go back into that well manner here.
It's a lot of fun. We'll see everybody next week. I'm gonna do the outro. Same bat time, same bat channel, 9 p.m. Eastern. Pop Culture Stars.
Damn right. Oh, I do have internet, so I can get the British lady. So, British lady, run us out of here.
Someone's got to do it.
Everybody have a wonderful night. Thank you again for joining us here. Stars.
Yep.
British lady, talk to me.